Everybody, welcome to Two Out the First. It's October the 9th, 2023. I'm Ryan Bellinger. Hope you had a great weekend. There was a lot to watch in golf, a lot to ponder, a lot to think about. We had a finish today that we will talk about a little bit. Just a little bit of a recap of the weekend that was in golf. We are presented by our friends at Swanee's Golf. Check them out at swanees.co. You can use the promo code GOLFNEWSNET25 to get 25% off your first order. As I've been saying on the show, it is now fall. We finally got a touch of fall here in the D.C. area. Yesterday, went out to a brewery, just had a little breeze for a while, had to wear a jacket. It was nice, and it looks like it's here to stay, at least for a couple days. Let's put it that way. Swanee's Golf got me prepared. We'll have you prepared, too. Great hoodies, great outerwear, pullovers, different fleece. They've got a awesome anorak jacket that has corduroy on the outside, which I'm very excited about, and of course t-shirts, sweatshirts, pants. I mean, everything that you need to be looking good, feeling good on and off the golf course this year in the fall. Swanees.co, GolfNewsNet25 is the promo code. So let's talk about what just wrapped up. So this is 12:45 in the afternoon Eastern time when we're recording this on a Monday. Unfortunately for the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, the tournament got washed out on Saturday and Sunday. And that's saying something when you're talking about Scotland. Three-course rotation. So you have Kings Barnes, Hoste, the Old Course, and Carnoustie. And play was washed out on Saturday and Sunday. I mean, the Barry Burn was, you know, had water up to the brim, going out to the sea, puddling everywhere. You couldn't play golf. So they call it Saturday, they call it Sunday. And they decide they're going to try to have a 54-hole tournament Monday finish because they got the first two rounds in and everyone will play the last course in the rotation. They had a cut to the top 30 in ties after two for the Pro-Am competition after two rounds. And it looked like 35 or 40 players WD'd. They just didn't want to play the final round. I guess they wanted to move on, maybe get over to Madrid if they were playing the Open de España this week, which we'll talk about in a second, maybe two. But they had some issues getting this thing in. So they were supposed to have a start around 9-ish local time, which is minus 5 hours here on the East Coast of 4 a.m. And they were going to have players go off tees 1 and 10 at the Old Course in Kings Barnes. However, if you were playing Carnoustie, they were going to make a call at 7:30 in the morning local time, which obviously they made the call to play. But they were going to go off in a shotgun start at 11:30 in the morning. So you were in a bit of a disadvantage, right? I mean, or maybe it was an advantage. I don't know. Not sure. But it was going to be different for playing Carnoustie than all the other players in the other two courses. And there were some complaints from parents and of players in the field. That often happens, believe it or not. They were complaining to the DP World Tour that how could they let them play Carnoustie when there was plenty of puddling on the golf course. And I don't mean like little puddles. I mean big puddles, like acres size puddles covering significant swaths of the golf course. Now, obviously, you could get relief from casual water or irregular water. Same thing in the bunkers, because if the bunker is completely flooded, then you don't have any choice but to play out of it, kind of thing. So there it was a little strange. But in the end, Matt Fitzpatrick winds up winning, finished on 19 under total for the 54-hole event, the pro event. And then he also wound up winning the double. He won the pro-am with his mom, Susan. It's like a 5 handicap. And they won by 5 shots. So pretty good day for the Fitzpatrick family, winding up winning, basically winning about $800,000 if you win the professional event. You get another $50,000 as the professional in the pro event. So $850,000 to Matt Fitzpatrick, and I'm sure some will find its way to his mom, who he owes a lifetime of gratitude. So pretty good week for the Fitzpatricks there. Now the DP World Tour moves on this week to the Acciona Open de España at golf club in Madrid. Madrid is a huge city for one. So where in Madrid, I don't exactly remember, but I feel like it's like the northwest portion of the city. And that's not like the like old school part of the city where you go gaga for architecture, like I did my one day there before the Solheim Cup. But this week on the DP World Tour is basically Jon Rahm versus the world, because he is the only top 50 player in the field competing this week, and it's his to lose. I mean, this event is basically entirely built around Jon Rahm. Like, all the advertising, of course, in Madrid while we were walking around, and there was plenty of it, was of Jon Rahm. Like it might as well be the Jon Rahm Open in terms of how it was advertised. Everyone else, I mean, there's plenty of great Spanish golfers, young, experienced, whatever, that'll be competing this week. But the overwhelming bulk of people who are going to go to Campo Madrid they're going to be there to see Jon Rahm. So it'll be an interesting week. It's a pretty sizable purse, $3.25 million, same as the French Open. So, I mean, I'm also kind of surprised there aren't some better players that are top 50. It's also very hard to be top 50 and be in the European Tour or DP World Tour full-time. So, interesting week for them. I want to recap briefly the PGA Tour event as well, because that finished yesterday on time. Five-person playoff. I feel really bad for Ben Griffin. He had a three-shot lead going into the final round. Just needed the par of the last hole to win the tournament, get his first PGA Tour win. He did not do that. He fell into a five-way playoff along with Scott Stallings, Ludwig Ober, Luke List, and who am I missing? But get to the first playoff hole, and Luke List buries a 45-foot birdie putt before anyone else really even has a chance to putt, and no one made it inside of him, on top of him, to keep it going. So Luke List is now a two-time PGA Tour winner, has won in consecutive years, won his first, for the first time after, what, like 200 starts at Torrey Pines, won that in a playoff as well. And he talked about, afterward, the nature of winning for the first time in a playoff might have helped him here, because looking at his relative competition, right? I mean, in terms of winning on the PGA Tour and then winning in a playoff, I forgot Henrik Norlander, I'm sorry, to Henrik Norlander. He's a 180-1 shot we tipped on our golf betting podcast, The Press. So, unfortunately, it didn't work out. It's probably why I blocked it out of my mind. Everyone else made four. But Luke said, hey, for me, it was very important to have had that kind of experience and got my first win that way. So, big win for him. Gets to the Masters next year. Gets into the Century, which is a big deal for him. That's a big money, no-cut signature event for next year. Gets him into the Players, of course. And if he finishes in the next 10, so to speak, then he would earn a position into the first two signature events on mainland U.S. soil next year, which are Pebble Beach and Riviera. Right now, he sits 61st in the FedEx Cup fall standings. He moved up from 119th to 61st. Good news for Ben Griffin. He was 66th and now is 51st. So he leads the standing. It's going to be kind of hard to top him at this point. So he should be in good position to get into those first two signature events next year. And then for Ludwig Ober, he is in the PGA Tour next year. Went from 136th in the standings to 113th. There's almost no way he gets knocked out. He's playing again this week in Las Vegas. He's going to probably earn enough points to earn status without having to worry about anything anywhere else. He'll also have status on the DP World Tour because he won there. So he can do what he wants. He's in great shape. Also gets into, I think they took away this exemption by being on the Ryder Cup team, but I think it still gets you into the PGA Championship. I think. Might not anymore, but we'll see. And then Scott Stallings, who runs very hot and cold, was 130th coming into the week, now is 98th, comfortably has his card locked up, ready to go for next season. And Henrik Norlander's close, but not quite there, 120th. Probably hard to get knocked out, but there's still a lot of room, five events left in the fall. So there's still some room there for him to get knocked out. So we moved to Las Vegas this week, and Lexi Thompson is playing in the Shriners Children's Open at TPC Summerlin. Tom Kim is there. Got about a half dozen of the world top 50, which is pretty decent, I think, for these events. I think that's kind of the ceiling of what to expect in these fall tournaments. If you look at the remainder of the schedule, You've got Vegas this week, right? And then they go to Japan for the Zozo Championship. That is a limited field event still, as far as I understand it. $8.5 million purse. They knocked that down from what it was. So they're still playing that. They'll still play out that contract. And then they'll probably figure out some other stuff for the fall. But that'll be a limited field event and a great opportunity for some players to earn cash and coveted points. Then they take a week off for the Zozo Champ after the Zozo Championship. Then they have the remaining events on the calendar. So they have the Worldwide Technology Championship. Remember, that is no longer at the Playa del Carmen Resort because that's now a LIV host site. So PGA Tour snatched that right away. So it's now at the Tiger Woods designed El Cardinal at Diamante in Los Cabos. So, you know, Baja California portion of Mexico. Then the Bermuda Open, then the RSM Classic, and then we are done with the fall. So lots left there. Second story for today is the 40 cards that went out yesterday between the Korn Ferry Tour and the Epson Tour, which is the LPGA's version of the Korn Ferry Tour, or the LPGA's version of the Challenge Tour for the DP World Tour. I mean, take your pick. But a lot of cards were on the line yesterday, so both had their tour championships, which ended the season. On the Korn Ferry Tour side, they had theirs for the final year of Victoria National in Newburgh, Indiana, a place I was technically a member for a year as part of Dormy Network. Played there a couple times. Really, really, really hard golf course. One of the most intimidating places I've ever played. And they had 600 points on the line in their finals event. Limited to 75 players, top 75 in the standings. No cut, top 30 at the end. Got their PGA Tour status. Over on the Epson Tour, they had the Epson Tour Championship down at LPGA International in Daytona Beach, Florida. $250,000 purse. Nothing particularly special purse-wise about the event, because they've had ones ranging all year from about $200,000 to $350,000 in terms of prize money. However, was a limited field, and they did have a cut after 36 holes, 72-hole event, but the top 10 in total prize money earned for the season at the end of that tournament earned LPGA Tour status for next season. So let's start with the Korn Ferry Tour first. It was a fascinating week. I mean, I'm happy for my friends at French Lick in Southern Indiana, French Lick, Indiana, because they will be taking over this tournament for the next 5 years. So the Dye course at French Lick is going to be hosted this tournament moving forward. I think that's harder in many ways than Victoria National, but they are both very, very stratospheric in the level of difficulty. Nevertheless, thinking about this week, so there were five players who were outside the top 30 who played their way in to a PGA Tour card this week. There were five who were in the top 30 who played their way out. Probably the most devastating in terms of not getting your card was Shad Tootin. He was sitting there at 30th in the standings, and then he was assessed a two-stroke penalty for basically violating the rules around preferred lies on Sunday and went to 32nd in the standings. So a penalty in the final tournament and probably just an honest mistake leads to him not having a PGA Tour card next year. And then the beneficiary of that is probably really two people, but especially Rafa Campos from Puerto Rico. He's had some looks at the PGA Tour over the years. He's had some decent runs where people thought, including myself, that he was going to win. And he winds up missing a 7 or 8 foot par putt on the final hole. He thought he lost his card or lost a chance at the card. Then Shad Tootin's penalty happens, and all of a sudden he's in on 30. He's into the PGA Tour. And the way that this works, the number one player in the standings is fully exempt for next year. They don't go through what's called the reshuffle. So Ben Coles is that guy. I think he's won twice this season on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's exempt from all that stuff. He gets access to every regular season event, regular event, non-signature. He gets into the players because of that. He's basically got a pretty solid schedule ready to go. And he's been on the PGA Tour before, so he's aware of the deal. Everybody else is subject to what's called the reshuffle. And this will start in 2024 because these players who just graduated will not have access to the PGA Tour in the fall, which is a change. Which is unfortunate because a lot of players have been able to come out, like Taylor Montgomery last year, come off the Korn Ferry Tour, fresh out the finals, come into the PGA Tour, play, earn a lot of points, and basically keep their status because they played well in the fall. I mean, that's what Taylor Montgomery did. Play the fall and like January really well, and then play very poorly the rest of the way. But he had already secured status, got himself in the playoffs. I mean, he had a really good year because of that. So not having that advantage is a bummer. But what will happen is with the start of 2024, all of these players who get through the Korn Ferry Tour, players who get through the five players who get through Q School, the 10 players who get promoted from the DP World Tour, and any other kind of randoms who fall in there by earning PGA Tour status they didn't have, they go in this category of reshuffle, and your access to regular PGA Tour events is dictated by your standing in the reshuffle. It happens like every 5 to 6 tournaments, and that's all based on how many FedEx Cup points you have for the season at that point. So you're highly incentivized to start strong, and that's why the fall was such a big motivator for players, because the fall had no reshuffle. You got into all the tournaments because not as many people played, right? Not as many PGA Tour regulars played, and that gave you an opportunity to earn points. Now that's not the case. It's going to be more difficult to keep your card because you're going to have very limited playing opportunities to start the year from the Korn Ferry Tour. Because if you look at the schedule for next year, right, look at the way that it works. So the first event is the Century. Well, the Century is limited field. Signature event. Sony Open Hawaii. Always gets oversubscribed because it's freaking Hawaii. People want to be there and play. So your first real chance is the American Express. Well, that has become a somewhat more popular event to start the year because it's an opportunity to notch the event you need to add to the schedule per PGA Tour regulation. So that's going to keep some guys out. Torrey Pines, you'll get in. You won't get into Pebble Beach anymore. That's a signature event. Phoenix Open, usually oversubscribed. 132 players. So you're going to not have much priority. Genesis, signature event. First chance you have one good crack at the American Express, maybe. Then your next chance is the Mexico Open at Vedanta, which is now moved into February. That's your opportunity there. Then you maybe get to play at PGA National, which used to be the Honda Classic, is now currently called the Classic in the Palm Beaches. Whenever they get a sponsor for that locked up, they'll announce that. But that's your chance there. Puerto Rico, you'll get into. So you got a nice little stretch there. But you got to wait really like 2 months to get a chance to really play. And by then, there's a reshuffle. So you got to do it pretty quickly. And then maybe if you're lucky, you play well enough to get into the players. It's hard to do, but maybe you get in there. You could play Valspar. Maybe the Houston Open, which is now the Texas Children's Houston Open. Maybe you get that done. Texas Open, you get a chance at. So you really start to get your bites of the apple kind of the end of February, first half of March, or part of March, and then leading into the Masters. Right after the week of the Masters, you've got a signature event, but you've got Punta Cana, so you've got a chance to play, and you go from there. So it'll be very difficult for Korn Ferry Tour players to really manage their status, but that's what they're going to have to do in this new system. Meanwhile, on the Epson Tour, you had 10 players get their status for next year. So Austin Kim wound up winning this tournament on 23 under par. She beat Gurleen Kaur and Kaylee Telfer by 2 shots. Really interesting finish for Kristen Gilman. She needed a birdie eagle finish, basically, to get into 10th position on the money list and get an LPGA Tour card. And she did just that. Pretty incredible stuff for someone who has some experience on the LPGA Tour. So she was the 10th position. The number one finisher on the money list this year was Gabby Ruffles. She had already won 3 times on the schedule. There is no Battlefield promotion, so to speak, to the LPGA. But she did get a couple starts on the LPGA. But she won almost $160,000 in 13 events. She winds up topping the money list over Natasha Andreon, who finished clear second at about $150,000. Austin Kim with the win moved up into third position, about $120,000. The other players to earn cards, Juwan John, Minji Kang, Agatha Lane? I'm going to mess up her name. But actually, interesting, I picked up Agatha's luggage when I was at the French Lick Resort for the tournament they had at French Lick, because it got lost on the way to Louisville. So I picked it up for her, and she actually played pretty well that week. So helped someone out a little bit who wound up sixth on the standings in the race for the card. Jenny Coleman finished seventh. Roberta Leedy finished eighth. Isabella Fierro finished ninth. As I mentioned, Kristen Gilman finished 10th. And that wound up putting her in front of Becca Huffer by $1,700. Jenny Bay, who won twice coming straight out of school, only got 11 starts, unfortunately was not good enough, finished in 13th and at $89,000. So she'll have an opportunity to get her card through Q-Series, and she'll probably do it. I mean, she's a tremendously talented player. You've seen her play. If you haven't watched the streams that they've been doing, at a minimum, you probably saw her at the Augusta National Women's Am play great. So she's going to be just fine. But really interesting, just kind of week in golf where the whole culmination of a season comes to a big head in a big tournament, and lots on the line. The 30 guys that earn cards for the Korn Ferry Tour, good mixture of young and older. Josh Teeter, who I played a pro-am with in, I think, 2019 in Puerto Rico for 9 holes, gave me guff because we played from a way up tee and had like a wedge into a par 5. Hey, that's not my problem. But really, really good guy to be around. Almost universally loved among his peers. Gets another crack at it in his mid-40s on the PGA Tour. Scott Kuskiewski is the same way. Older guy, you know, in his 40s, getting another crack at it, getting another bite at the apple. Paul Barjon won the event. The Korn Ferry Tour Championship, played his way into, very easily into, the top 30 on the points list in the end. So we've got a full week. We've got the PGA Tour in Las Vegas. We've got the Open Day España in Spain, the Jon Rahm Show. Obviously, Epson Tour and Korn Ferry Tour done on the PGA Tour Champions, their final regular season event, the SAS Championship in Cary, North Carolina. A very politically interesting moment, we'll put it lightly. Liv is playing in Saudi Arabia, which I'm not sure they really appreciate that, but that's what's going on there. And we've got lots to talk about in the coming days and weeks as golf rolls on. Thanks so much for listening today. I appreciate it. If you catch us at a podcast platform to let you do so, leave a comment, leave a 5-star review. Helps us out. You can also catch us on Golf News Net Radio, available 24/7 on iHeart, TuneIn, and our website, golfnewsnet.com. We're adding 5 new shows to the lineup this week. Very, very excited to have them being a part of the lineup, swapping some things out, also taking out some of myself, frankly, off the station, some repeats of me off. So you'll hear less of me on GNN Radio, which is a good thing. And as I've kind of started to tell people, GNN Television is coming. It's coming to a streaming service near you, probably December or January. Starting to get all of the details together, the contract details with different platforms and things like that. Really excited about it. We'll have more details as we go, but that's the next project for Golf News Net, and it's going to be an exciting one. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. I'm Ryan Ballengee, and we'll catch you next time on Two Off the First.